Hello, everybody. Happy Sabbath to you.
Hello.
I already said good morning to you, son. No, thank you. You know, coming up to today, I was kind of torn between giving a message related to Halloween or related to the upcoming presidential election. Both topics are timely, right? One just happened. One's just about to happen. Both topics can provide us insight for comparing the ways of the world with God's ways. And let's face it, both topics can be pretty scary. Well, I decided to go with something related to the latter, hopefully for your encouragement. The title of today's message is The Election of All Elections. You see, here in the United States, the people of America who choose to will vote for their favorite candidate this Tuesday. First, the public votes, and in the U.S., we don't actually vote for the president. We vote for the members of what are called the Electoral College. The popular vote will happen in November on the 6th this year, and then the Electoral College will be selected from that vote, and they will actually elect a president on December 17th this year. That is when the next president of the United States is actually elected. Then on January 20th of 2013, the president-elect gets sworn in as president of the United States of America. That's if he's not already president. So technically, we don't actually have a president-elect until December 17th, and we automatically think it's that election that comes up this week. And then this person will not actually hold the office of president until January 20th of 2013, when he is actually sworn into office. Today, I want to talk to you, discuss the term elect. In Webster's Dictionary, treated as an adjective, it means chosen, but not just chosen, taken by preference from two or more. In theology, chosen by God for salvation and eternal life. And number three, chosen but not yet inaugurated or invested with office as mayor-elect, or as I was just talking about, president-elect. When they are elected president, they are not yet president. Okay? Did you know that you have already been elected to office? I'm going to show you how today. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 2. Here is an example of how a Christian is described in the Scriptures. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, there's actually a number of scriptures that discuss this word election or elect. I'm not going to go to these other scriptures, but I wanted to mention a couple more to you. that I'm not going to be using in the sermonette. Romans chapter 11 and verse 7. And Titus chapter 1 verse 1. Now in the Bible, when they use the term elect in the King James Version, it's from eklektos. It means select. By implication, favorite. Chosen. Elect. Now you think about this. It is to choose. When you elect, you choose. Okay. In this case, we find that election by God means God was the elector, the electorate, the one and only, and then he elects several people. Okay. But it's not just, hey, you know, there's some choices here, I'm going to just pick one. It's a special chosen person. There is something behind the choice. It means something. But what should happen if, between election and inauguration, the president-elect should die or fail to qualify? Or in our case, the Christian-elect. There is a provision made in the 20th Amendment of the United States of America in Section 3, and I'm going to read it to you. If at the time fixed for the beginning of the term of the president, the president-elect shall have died, the vice president-elect shall become president. If a president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of his term, or if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, so we could say, let's say there was some controversy about the election of this president, and if for some reason it came up just in that window right between election and inauguration, and it proved to be true. Let's say some court case had been going on and it got decided right there. Well, and they were proved to not be qualified. If you weren't a citizen of born citizen of the United States, you couldn't actually be president. Okay, so that would be proving not to be qualified. Then the vice president-elect shall act as president until a president shall be qualified, and the Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president-elect shall be qualified. And it goes on. The point being that when you are elected, let's say our president is elected, he is not president. Okay, but he is expected to be. He is already the choice by election. The thing is that he's not necessarily guaranteed to be president. Now, fortunately, in our history, we've never had anything happen badly that would cause somebody not to be able to take office and cause some sort of troubles in the presidency. But it has happened. It has happened in Wisconsin for the governorship. There was a man by the name of Orland Steen Loomis. He was elected governor of Wisconsin, but died before taking office. His final title was not governor of Wisconsin, but governor-elect. That's his major accomplishment in life. Okay? Orland Steen Spike Loomis, November 2, 1893 to December 7, 1942, after narrowly losing the 1940 election for governor of Wisconsin as a progressive, Loomis ran again in 1942, defeating the incumbent governor, Julius Heil. He died suddenly of a heart attack a month before he was to take office, and the Republican Lieutenant Governor Walter Samuel Goodland served all of Loomis's term as acting governor. You see, the reason I'm bringing up this term elect is I want you to think about what God is doing with you and me when we are called the elect. You and I need every tool available to us that reminds us of our integrated connection to the body of Christ, of our intimate, direct connection to God. And one of those things is to understand the meaning, as in present value, of our election. It is important, however, to understand clearly that election is not the office or award. I'm going to turn to Revelation 17. Revelation chapter 17, and start reading in verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. This is a bad time in the future for mankind. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. So this is essentially bringing you all the way up to the day of the Lord. Jesus Christ returns to earth and just destroys those who make war with him. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Now that word chosen is from eklektos also. It really could have been put elect. They could have written elect and it would have been just as appropriate. Called, elect, and faithful. Interesting the order. When you think about your life and why you are in this room, you have gone through a process of being called by the Father. We can't know the things of God unless the Father who sent Christ draws us. He has to call us. We have a calling, and then, of course, we have to respond, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? So we have to respond to that calling. But what we need to understand is that when we receive that calling and accept that calling, which includes accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, accepting God's way of life and saying we want it, what does he do? Okay, we get baptized, and what does he do? Someone lays hands on us. What does he do? He gives to us his Holy Spirit, and we become the elect. But there is something that follows in that statement called chosen or elect, and faithful. Faithful means objectively trustworthy, which would mean you would do what you're expected to do, right? You're known to do what you're supposed to do. Subjectively, trustful. Believing, believer. Faithful, faithfully. Sure, true. That's who these elect have become. Faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, the good news that Paul was bringing to Timothy, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. I bring good news, I'm treated badly, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. So though they can chain his body, they cannot change the word or chain the word. Therefore, verse 10, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Notice this, may obtain salvation. When you are elected, you do not have the office, and you cannot claim to have the office. There is, in our presidential elections, at least a month of gap between the two, being elected and becoming president. Okay? Now, there's differences in the analogy. The reason the guy was elected in the first place is at some point in his life, he decided he wanted to be president. Right? And so then he had to prepare. He may have prepared in his professional life, and depending on how early he wanted to do it, he may have prepared to get ready and to show people, hey, I want to be president and I think you should choose me. Okay, well, God elected you and me right after we realized He made that connection with us and we accepted the calling. That's when He elected us. So we get to spend whatever time we have on this earth to prepare for that office, which is a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, we read, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. See, here we got that connection with God the Father calling, electing through you, providing the Holy Spirit. For obedience, so then we obey, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We accept what Jesus Christ has done for us to cover the sins that we have committed. That's what makes us qualified. We could try as hard as we like. We could try to please God all we wanted. But if we didn't have that covering blood of Christ, it wouldn't matter. We'd still be dead in our sins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. In heaven, they've already reserved your office, which is coming to earth with Jesus' return. Verse 5, who are kept to by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We can go to 2 Peter. This will be the last scripture. 2 Peter. In chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What is that divine power but God's Holy Spirit? It is what communicates to us the things of God, to help us know the things of God. And it also gives us the ability to perform the acts of God from the heart through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, here's some ways to prepare. Okay, we already know about obeying God's law. We can think about the letter of the law. And then there are these qualities that are within this letter of the law of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, or godly love, agape love. For verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things are qualities of Jesus Christ. We are practicing them. We are then in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, in verse 10, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Both of those you have received, but you need to make them sure. You need to prepare for that calling and for that office of king and priest. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in closing, election is a done deal for you and me. That still requires the elected to live according to the expectations of the office to which is awaited their inauguration, the actual taking of the office.